This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lah. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إذ قال له ربه أسلم قال أسلمت لرب العالمين صدق الله العظيم. Respected scholars, teachers, beloved students, friends and elders in Islam, indeed today is the day of happiness. And this day has been declared as the day of happiness by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself and by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived into Medina and he saw the people being happy upon his arrival, he asked the people that what is the day of celebration in Medina? And the people replied that the 10th of Muharram is regarded as the day of celebration by the Jews of Medina, because on that day Musa alayhi salam got freedom from Fir'aun. So at that moment Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam declared 2 days as the day of celebration for this ummah, the day of Eid al-Fitr and the day of Eid al-Adha. And that is why there is this famous narration, Ka'b Ahbar, who was still a Jew, who didn't accept Islam at that time. He said to Hadrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu that, "O Umar, if the verse which was given to you people, if that same verse was given to us, I would have declared the day when that verse was revealed, the day of celebration." So Hadrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked that, "O Ka'ab, what is that verse?" Ka'ab replied, "Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam adina." The meaning of which is, Allah ta'ala is telling Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "Today we have completed your deen for you. Wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati, and we have completed our bounty upon you. وَرَضِيْتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ مَدِينَ," and I am happy for you, Islam being your religion, Islam being your deen. So Ka'ab said that if this verse was given to us, we would have declared the day when this verse was revealed as the day of celebration. So Hadrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that, "O Ka'ab, you would have declared it as the day of celebration, but Allah ta'ala himself and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, they have declared this day as the day of celebration in our religion. Why? Because when this verse was revealed, Prophet, it was the day of Arafah, which was yesterday. It was the day of Arafah, and it was a Friday. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was riding on the horse, and this day actually falls next to the day of Eid. So Allah Ta'ala himself has declared this day as the day of celebration." And respected elders and friends, that is the whole reason why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam even said that if a person has to fast on the day of Arafah, then his sins for the last year, for the previous year, and his sins for the coming year are going to be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanallah, look at what a beautiful point the scholars have taken out from this hadith. They say that if a person is given the ability to fast on the day of Arafah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there is a possibility that he won't die in the whole of coming year. There is a possibility. Obviously it happens by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but there is a possibility. Why? Because Allah is ready to forgive his sins for the whole year, for the whole of coming year. And whose sins are going to be forgiven? The one who has to stay for the whole of the coming year. So let us try and fast. For those who have missed out, don't give up. Inshallah, may Allah Ta'ala give us a long life. So that is why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that. And there are certain friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they get that privilege. where they get to know whether they are going to live or they are going to leave the world, whether they are going to stay or they are going to leave the world. Like there is this famous scholar, Allama Jami Rahmatullahi Alayhi, a very famous scholar, famous for his love for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whenever he used to go to the grave of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when he used to bid farewell, he used to make an announcement that, "O Prophet of Allah, I am leaving. Is there a message for me?" An unseen voice used to be heard, which used to say that, "O Jami, travel safe and come back again." So that happened once. He came again to the grave of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He made the same announcement, "O Prophet of Allah, I am leaving. Is there a message for me?" Same unseen voice was heard, that, "O Jami, travel safe and come back again." Upon one occasion, he made the same announcement, and the reply which came was that, "O Jami, travel safe." That's it. "O Jami, travel safe." He didn't hear, "Come back again." So Jami Rahmatullahi Alayhi said, it is mentioned in the books, he said that, "I'm going to die this year because I didn't hear that come back again." So there were certain friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who were given that privilege that they used to know whether they are going to stay or they are going to leave the world. So Hadrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who gave that reply to Ka'b, that the day of Arafah has been declared as the day of celebration, the day of Eid has been declared as the day of celebration by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And as we are talking about the day of Arafah, it would be fair for me to mention regarding the day of Arafah, regarding what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did on the day of Arafah, especially when each and every ummati of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam puts in that effort of presenting himself in the masjid. And I would like to share with you that on the day of Arafah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam combined his Zohar and Asr Salah. And then he raised his hands and he started making dua. How many minutes did he make dua? Was it 10 minutes? Was it 15 minutes? Was it 30 minutes? Was it 1 hour? Was it 2 hours? 3 hours? 4 hours? 5 hours? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for 5 hours. Who did he make dua for? Talking about his family, he himself said that Fatima is the princess of Jannah. Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu is the prince of Jannah. Hadrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu is my neighbor in Jannah. Hadrat Uthman Jannah, Hadrat Umar Jannah, Hadrat Abu Bakr Jannah, each and every companion of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Jannah. Then who did he make dua for? He made dua for you and I. He made dua for this ummati. It comes in the narration of Muslim that on the day of Eid al-Adha, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam took a sheep, and then he told Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha that, "Oh Aisha, give me a knife." And then he sacrificed the sheep, and then he made dua, "Allahumma taqabbal bi Muhammad." Oh Allah, accept this from Muhammad, wa Ali Muhammad, and accept this from the family of Muhammad, wa ummati Muhammad, and accept this from the ummat of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He made qurbani for you and I. Even an animal was sacrificed for you and I from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It comes in another narration that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was seated with Hadrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. It was the time of tahajjud. And he said, "Allahumma ghfir li Aisha." Hadrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha became very happy. Why? Because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua that, "Allah, forgive my Aisha." So that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha became happy. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked that, "Oh Aisha, why are you so happy? Why are you smiling?" That Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha replied that, "Oh Prophet of Allah, shouldn't I be happy that you have made dua for me?" Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, "Oh Aisha, I make this dua for each and every ummati of mine after every salah. After every salah, I make this dua for my ummati. Oh Allah, forgive my ummah. Oh Allah, forgive my ummah." Hadrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha asked in another narration that, "O Prophet of Allah, tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, there is going to be so much of chaos. There are going to be so many people. Where are we going to find you?" Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied that, "O Aisha, you will find me in one of the three places. Number one, I might be prostrating in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and making dua for the forgiveness of my ummah. Number two, I might be standing where the deeds of my ummah are going to be weighed. I will be making dua that, oh Allah, make it easy for my ummah. Number three, I might be standing on the bridge of Sirat, where my ummati will be crossing the bridge, and I will be making dua that Allah make it easy for him, make him reach Jannah. That is the love Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for this ummah. And today this ummah has forgotten the same love and the same sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many sunnahs of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. So respected elders and friends, today is the day of Qurbani, the day of Eid al-Adha, a day of celebration, a day where we celebrate the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam. You know, the story is very long, but I will start with where Ibrahim alayhi salam was thrown into the fire. And when he came out, he started his journey with his wife Sarah alayhi salam. He started migrating. He reached Misr, Egypt. There used to be a king in Misr who had evil intentions regarding any woman who used to pass by. He used to arrest the woman and he used to spend a night with that woman by force. So Ibrahim alayhi salam was passing by with Sarah alayhi salam. The king, according to his practice, did the same. But when he raised his hand to touch Sarah alayhi salam, his hand got paralyzed. When he used to pull it back, it was okay. Again he raised his hand, it got paralyzed. He pulled it back. Again he raised his hand. It got paralyzed. So from that he understood that this is someone special. This is the wife to someone who is special in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is Ibrahim alayhi salam. So he asked for forgiveness. And he gave his daughter Hajra alayhi salam in the nikah of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Ibrahim alayhi salam married Hajra alayhi salam. And then they started the journey again. So now it was the three of them. Ibrahim alayhi salam, Sarah alayhi salam, and Hajra alayhi salam. And they reached Palestine. They settled down in Palestine. When they settled down there, Ibrahim alayhi salam made a dua. Rabbi habli minas salihin. Allah, grant me a pious child. Allah, grant me a pious child. No matter the child is a doctor, molana, pilot, engineer, whoever he is, it is important to have a pious child. And we'll only have a pious child when we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, when we are given that child by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we spend time with them. We show them love, we show them sympathy, mercy, muhabba, and we give them the right upbringing. That is how we are going to have pious child. And how important it is to have a pious child, that even a prophet is making dua, that oh Allah grant me a pious child. Finally, he is granted Ismail alayhi salam at the age of 84. When Ibrahim alayhi salam was 84, he is granted with one son, and that is Ismail alayhi salam, and that is the first child. 1 year passes by and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends Jibreel alayhi salam to Ibrahim alayhi salam. That, oh Ibrahim, you have to take your wife Hajra and Ismail and go somewhere. Hadrat Ibrahim alayhi salam questions Hadrat Jibreel, where am I supposed to go? Hadrat Jibreel says that I will guide you, follow me. So Hadrat Jibreel alayhi salam in the shape of a human is in front on a camel. Hadrat Ibrahim alayhi salam is behind with his wife, with his 1 year old, a few months old son, and they are following. And finally, they reach at this place, a valley which is in between four mountains, Safa, Marwa, Jabal-e-Umar, and Jabal-e-Abi Quwais, between these four mountains. And at that moment, Jibreel alayhi salam says to Ibrahim alayhi salam, that, oh Ibrahim, this is where you are supposed to leave your family. That Ibrahim, who didn't shake when he was thrown into the fire. When he was thrown into the fire, what was he saying? Hasbi Allahu wa ni'mal wakil. Allah is sufficient for me. But when Jibreel alayhi salam told him that this is where you have to leave your family, he said, this is where I'm supposed to leave my family? Is this where I should leave my family and my young son? That is what ended up coming out of his mouth. Because of the place, there was no sign of vegetation, no sign of habitation, no sign of existence of a single human or humanity. And Allah Ta'ala is commanding him that leave your child here and leave your wife here. And then he came down, he built a shelter, and then he started traveling again. So Hadrat Hajra alayhi salam started following him. That, oh Ibrahim, where are you going? Why are you leaving me? It comes in narrations that Hadrat Hajra alayhi salam followed him for 3 miles. She kept walking behind him. That, oh Ibrahim, why are you leaving me? But it was a command of Allah. He wasn't supposed to utter a single word. Finally, Hadrat Hajar alayhi salam understood that this is a prophet of Allah. It might be a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So she said, Allahu amarak, is it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has commanded you to do this? Hadrat Ibrahim alayhi salam just shook his head. Yes. Then she said, idhan lan yudhayyi'an Allah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to destroy us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take care of us. And then she stood there with her young son, with a young baby in her hands. And she saw Ibrahim alayhi salam slowly, slowly disappearing from her eyesight. And he went on the other side of the mountain. When finally Ibrahim alayhi salam saw that Hadrat Hajra can't see him anymore, he stood, he came down from his camel, and then he faced towards the place where he left Hadrat Hajra alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam, and that is where he ended up saying, Rabbana inni askantu min dhurriyati biwadin ghayri dhi zar. Allah, I've left my family at a place where there is no vegetation or no sign of habitation. Allah Ta'ala, take care of them. And now, subhanallah, the scholars mention that obviously for Ibrahim alayhi salam, again he had to go back to his another family. He had another 2 wives. He had to go back to his family. But what about Hajra alayhi salam? She had to go back to that valley, to the jungle, where there was no one at all. Only Allah knows, and only Hadrat Hajra alayhi salam know how she must have spent that first night. Tomorrow when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a chance to enter into Jannah, we will look for Hajra alayhi salam and we'll ask her, that, oh, our mother, how did you spend that night? How? And I'm telling you this from my personal experience. You know, a few months ago, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifted me with a daughter. And due to certain complications, she had to stay in the hospital for the first 2 months. And they told us that we have to keep our daughter in the NICU ward, where there are 100 other babies in the incubators. And no one is allowed inside except for the mother, only when she has to feed the child. That's it. So I used to sit outside and I used to look up the window. And I used to think that, oh Allah, how did Ibrahim alayhi salam manage this? How? It's, you know, as a human, it is impossible to bear this pain. There were 2 things which were giving me consolation at that time. Number one, I had named my daughter Asma. Hadrat Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, one of the strongest companion from the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So I had named her Asma, and I used to console myself saying that inshallah she will be brave like Hadrat Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha. And the second thing which used to console me was people calling me from the community and asking me that, Maulana, how is our daughter feeling? Maulana, how is our daughter doing? That used to console me. But still more, I'm a human. I used to sometimes burst out into tears. So at that moment, I used to think that, how did Ibrahim alayhi salam manage this? It is difficult. It is a difficult thing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us parents like Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Ibrahim alayhi salam left. Hajar alayhi salam is alone. 3 days passed by. They had a small, if I have to say, bottle of water. And the water finished. And they are in the middle of jungle. And Hadrat Ismail alayhi salam starts crying. Hadrat Ismail alayhi salam starts crying. Hadrat Hajra is running from Safa to Marwa. Marwa to Safa. She knows there is no water. But it is that love for the child as a mother. She's just running up and down. After 7 rounds, she gave up. She didn't give up because she was tired. But her human ability gave up. She fell down. She fell down and she was looking at Ismail alayhi salam. And suddenly she saw a man appeared and water started bursting out from the flow. And it was the water of Zamzam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifted them with Zamzam. So Hadrat Hajar alayhi salam came running. And you know, Zamzam is an Ibrani word from the language Ibrani, which means stop. Hadrat Hajar alayhi salam saw so much of water that she said, Zamzam, Zamzam, stop, water, stop. And the water stopped. So that is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of Ismail alayhi salam. Then 1 year passed by, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Ibrahim alayhi salam to go and visit him. Hadrat Ibrahim alayhi salam visit him. Then another few years passed by when Hadrat Ismail alayhi salam started walking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Ibrahim alayhi salam to slaughter him, to sacrifice him. And then Ibrahim alayhi salam went, and we all know what happened. فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ When Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam surrendered in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted their qurbani. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaced Ismail alayhi salam with a ship and accepted their qurbani. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who accept trials like Ibrahim alayhi salam and who learn to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam. Ameen wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.